Okay, call to order for the city council meeting of February the 12th, 2024. We'll start with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Crawford, could we have the roll call, please?
Certainly. We have Karina Higgins.
Present.
Mike Hill.
Here.
Sonia Hurt.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Eric Davidson requests to be excused.
I have a motion to
excuse. I motion.
Seconder.
Second.
Motion by Lopez, second by Higgins. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's passed 6-0. Okay, we're moving on to the next item in our agenda, which are the various presentations. Our first presentation will be about Touchstone, and I'm going to ask Erica Wright to come up, please.
Hello, my name is Dr. Erica Kreit, and I'm the Clinical Director of Touchstone Behavioral Health. We're a behavioral health agency licensed through the state of Washington. We have offices in Blaine and Everson, and we do about 14,000 visits a year. We're working on adding some new services. So we added a crisis center in Everson in August. There's still quite a few gaps in services. However, while we've been providing a lot of counseling services, we really would like to add more assessment services. So being able to provide assessments for youth, children, and adolescents early on to identify things like ADHD, autism, depression, anxiety, trauma can be really helpful to making sure we have better outcomes long term. It can mean getting access to support services like IEPs, disability support services, and just all kinds of proper interventions that help make things, people have better outcomes and better coping strategies, kind of knowing how to work with different things that they have going on. And so we're really excited about a grant that we're putting in for with Department of Commerce that would allow us to add autism wing for space for respite for parents and families who have a youth with autism. Right now, there's a pretty big gap in services and places where parents can go for support, and the Seattle Children's Hospital has been primarily where people have been going for support, and right now they're kind of in a state of crisis where they have about 25 beds available and 20 are filled with boarders, which is children who've been abandoned there that aren't really meeting criteria for getting treatment, so their insurance companies aren't paying for them, and the families are kind of burned out and like, well, I can't really bring them home. And so it's also taking away space while they're sitting there for months from children who need to access it temporarily for what would be a temporary treatment diagnosis. And so we kind of have this crisis going on with a lot of the hospitals right now. And so we're looking to add more services at home to make it so, we can access services in our own community. So really appreciate all that the city has done to always support behavioral health for youth. We all have little issues that we can work on and do better when we get more support. So thanks for letting me come and talk about our new projects.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Sue Sturgill.
Hi, I'm Sue Sturgill at 1218 4th Street. Sorry, I got a frog in my throat. I'm here representing Welcome Scheduled Housing. Normally, the director would be here, but she's out of town, so I'm here to request that the city release funds for certification for a shop grant that Welcome Skagit has applied for, and the city had agreed to be the lead agency, which is required by the agency. Self-help can't be it. It has to be a municipality in order to do that. And so we've met all the requirements. Sorry, my throat. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm also here to answer any questions you might have about the program, or hopefully I can answer stuff about this. This is in your packet, what I have in front of me, so.
Could you just tell me a little bit about what it is, what the program is?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What the program is, I'm not familiar with it.
It's a private nonprofit organization, and it organizes and helps and recruits families to build their own homes. We supply all the support that's needed, including loan applications, and do all the paperwork as the houses are built. We do the paperwork for that and supply the construction supervisors and anything basically to do with the program. I mean, in order from beginning to end for them to be able to move into their homes. And the families are required to supply 65% of the house building. And it's for low and very low income families. So anyway.
How many projects are you planning on starting this year?
How many to be built this year?
Correct.
We're looking for 12. Well, we have 24 lots that we've acquired, and shop funds will go towards payment towards those. We already own the lots, but we've taken out a loan with a bank, which is the normal process that you have to do and are paying interest. So we need the shop funds to pay down the interest on, so we're not having to pay that. And then as the families buy the lots, then we take that money and pay off the loans from the bank. So we're able to secure the loans because the families have to have the lots assigned to them, or they pick the lots out. And then in order for them to get the funding, there has to be the lots, and they have to be totally approved by rural housing. So the federal government, basically, is through the USDA, the rural housing program.
Thank you.
Projects located in the county?
My hearing is not great.
Sorry, where are these projects located in the county?
We have a whole number of them. The one that relate to Blaine are in the Ridge up on the hill. So we have a number of projects in Ferndale, Skagit County. We also serve Skagit County. And I mean, almost every small town in the county had self-help homes built there, or the families have built. More recently, Ferndale is where we build mostly. The other, for Blaine, the most recent ones are Drayton Reach. We had 41 or 42 homes there built in the first part of that project. And then the other part is another contractor bought that property from us, and the homes are being built there now, not through our program, but through a regular contractor.
Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. And then we have from Family Care Network, Dr. Anderson.
Good evening. My name is Rodney Anderson. I'm a family physician as well as the CEO of Family Care Network, and I'm here tonight to provide a little update on our plans to construct a medical clinic here in Blaine. So I thought I'd spend a minute or two providing some background, because there may be folks in the room who weren't here 5 years ago when this idea started. And so I'll provide a little background context, current update, and then happy to answer any questions that the group has. So First Family Care Network is a family medicine-only primary care group that is local. We work in Whatcom and Skagit County and serve patients across those two counties. We are a bit unique as an organization because we are 100% owned by the physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants who practice within the organization. So we are not owned or affiliated by a hospital, a large medical group, an insurance company, private equity company. We're not a publicly traded company. We're unique in that regard. And our sort of founding belief is we exist to serve the communities that we are in. About 5 years ago, we started a partnership with the city of Blaine. We were actually approached by the city with a request to think about creating a local medical facility here in Blaine, recognizing the growth of the community and such. And so that kicked off a series of conversations that culminated in us purchasing about 2.5 acres of land over at the old airport site with plans to start constructing a clinic in, I believe it was late 2020, and we all remember 2020 was a very unique year, particularly for healthcare providers. So our plans were completely sideswiped by the COVID-19 pandemic, and that became all-consuming. So any plans to build, really expand anywhere in FCN were largely put on hold for a number of years. We also, a couple years ago, realized that our current electronic medical record, which is the software platform that drives everything we do in medicine, was sorely outdated and in need of an upgrade. So we committed a massive amount of time and resources to launch a new platform called Epic. Some of you may be familiar with that. It has much better tools to take care of patients, allow patients to interface with their care team and such. So that was a pretty all-consuming project for a period of time. We went live with Epic about 9 months ago, and pretty quickly things started to settle down, and we sort of pulled our heads up and said, okay, what's the plan with Blaine? So quick update. So that's the background context update with where we're at currently. We have re-engaged with the architects, contractors, engineers, banks that we were all lined up to use in the past, have kind of reevaluated the needs. And what you see on the screen here is the first of a couple kind of white drawings of what a potential facility would look at that old airport site. We're still revising these plans, so this may not be the final picture appearance, but our plan is to submit for building permits within the next month to the city of Blaine. The immediate question is, well, when will you start building and when will it be built? And I cannot commit to a timeline yet on that because there's a couple outstanding pieces. But I just wanted to communicate to the really to everybody here that progress is resuming. Again, we are moving forward with this. We remain just as committed to this vision as we were 4 or 5 years ago. I know I've gotten periodic questions from people, are you guys still going to do this? And we are very committed to doing this. This building, as you see it, is just under 6,000 square feet. Our rough estimate is that it would allow us to provide primary care services to probably 12,000 or more patients, which is more than the current population of Blaine, but my understanding is there is an intention of future growth in this community. So this building will serve the needs of the community, hopefully for many decades to come. So, and I wanna just pause before I answer questions and thank the council and those who have been in leadership roles for sort of the commitment and partnership and to some extent the patience. I think that this has taken a lot longer than any of us had hoped or envisioned, and that is the reality of it. That pains me, I think, probably as much as it pains anybody else, but we're hoping to again, be in this site or something that looks very similar to that in the not-too-distant future. And I also want to specifically thank Michael Harmon. When he came to town, he reached out to me and said, I hear there's something called Family Care Network and a potential vision to build something here. Where is that out and what can I do to support making that happen? And Mike's reached out to me every couple months in the interim to offer support and really advocate for the community as a whole. So Michael, thank you for your partnership in trying to move this forward. So I apologize if that was a little long-winded, but I'm happy to answer any questions anybody might have. Yeah.
Yeah, the total services provided, how many offices, diagnostic, blood work, all that stuff. Can you give us a little overview?
Yep, for sure. So we're family medicine. So family medicine means all ages and stages of life, birth to death, everything in between. We are frontline healthcare, so we're very used to managing acute issues, chronic disease. Sometimes patients walk through the door bleeding and we just step in and manage it from there. So that whole gamut. We will have a lab with a draw station on site as well for all needed lab work. We, Family Care Network, started a number of years ago integrating mental health support through our clinic. So we will envision having a behavioral health specialist on site in that clinic to help meet some of the mental health needs of the community as well. We will provide kind of a gamut of different procedures, things like joint injections, skin procedures, and such. We will have, in addition to the draw station, there's always an on-site lab as well to do what we call point-of-care testing, so strep tests and flu tests and these types of things. We've talked a little bit with the providers about hours of operation, and our vision is to provide urgent care type services. We won't have a dedicated urgent care center in that building, at least initially, although if over time that need becomes really clear, we could certainly consider wrapping that in. So I think that captures most. I think the original drawings had 12 to 14 exam rooms. There's a procedure room, a triage room, a behavioral health room. So it's a full-scale primary care clinic. So, yeah. Yeah.
Will there be MRIs?
Nope. Okay. No imaging on site. Again, something to consider potentially down the road if we can make that happen, but not initially.
And do you have room, let's say it gets real busy, do you have room to expand?
Yeah, it's drawn in such a way that we could expand a portion of the building out one direction as we need to in the future. Again, the you know, that 12,000 patients is probably more than would fill the building, 12,000 plus initially. So we're sort of building it with the idea that there would be growth on the horizon as the community continues to grow and such. But yeah, there is a vision for future expansion as needed.
Great.
So,
great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any further comments? Do you have doctors and nurse practitioners and staff lined up for this facility?
So we have a clinic right now in Birch Bay. It's a smaller clinic, serves a lot of Blaine residents. So our vision actually would be to essentially move that staff to this Blaine facility. So currently there's four providers there. Interestingly, I've been working out of that office for almost the last 2 years. So I've gotten a lot of insight into kind of the Birch Bay Blaine community and such. So yeah, that's where we're at currently. This building would house easily 8 providers, potentially more than that if we needed to. So again, room for growth.
So you're abandoning Birch Bay?
It's a great question. So our vision is the Birch Bay site, for those who know where it is, there would be no abandonment of any patient who currently exists in Birch Bay, but that site allows no expansion and we're maxed out in that facility right now. And
if you move all the staff to Blaine, who's going to staff that facility?
It's a great question. Our vision is that those patients will continue to be patients here. Many of them are making a drive as it is. In fact, interestingly, when we looked at data for Family Care Network, again, we have clinics across Whatcom and Skagit County, it was shocking how many patients with a Blaine zip code sought care way far out of the community, not just Birch Bay, but I mean, we had Bellingham, we had some in Skagit County. I don't know the stories behind all that, but healthcare really should be local. Primary care should be local, should be easily accessible. You shouldn't have to drive 45 minutes to get to your family medicine provider's office. So that's the vision for it. So.
Okay. Dennis Olison, there's your early Valentine's Day card.
Any other questions for me? Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
I have a point of procedure, inquiry about the agenda here. I've noticed that item I on the agenda says council, new business and dialogue. Is that by dialogue, does that mean an opportunity for council members to make statements?
Yep.
Okay, then I would suggest that the item I follow item J and be after audience participation in case there's something to respond to.
We'll come to that when we come to that, okay?
Okay, my suggestion is changing the agenda order. Thank you.
Yep, we can do that. Okay, on to the consent agenda. One is approval of bills, $479,977.55. Two, approval of payroll, $792,320.94. Three, approval of January 22nd, 2024, City Council meetings. Four, resolution 1939-24, confirming the salary of city employees. Five, Amendment 004, Circuit 17 Project, Braxma Engineering Design Contract. 6, authorizing the city manager to sign the subrecipient agreement between Whatcom County Sheriff's Office and the City of Lane. 7, LAG Form 140-039, BNSF Bell Road Grade Separation Project. 8, acceptance of responsibilities required by HUD to serve as a responsible entity under the HUD Self-Help Homeownership Opportunity. Could I have a motion, please?
I motion.
Seconder? Second was? Okay. Motion by Lopez, second by Hill. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's passed 6-0, consent agenda. We're going to go on now to the council action items. The first one, a letter of support for Touchstone. Mr. Harmon, please.
Thank you, Mayor. If this item is something that Dr. Kreit presented as something the council would like to support, I've got a letter drafted ready to go, and just takes a motion from the council for me to sign it and send it off in our support of the project.
Would that be just telling somebody else that we're in favor of it in general?
Madam Mayor?
Go ahead.
That's correct. It's saying that the city council supports bringing those services to Blaine and that we put our faith and trust in their grant application.
Would like to make a motion?
I move that we do so.
Seconder?
Second.
Okay, motion is by Hurt and seconded by Lopez. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That's passed 6-0. Okay, on to on to resolution 1941-24, amending the council rules of procedure. Mr. Rufato, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I can do as much as the council wants at this point. I can answer any questions. This was presented on Thursday in some detail. Basically, the same document. It is the same document you had in your packet for Thursday. I want to defer to the city manager. Is there anything you wanted to add? I do have a couple additional revisions that I would suggest before the council fully considers it, though.
Nothing additional at this time.
Okay, so as the council deliberates on this and potentially takes action, I would just, something that came out of the Thursday discussion was, as something I emphasize that isn't as clear as it could be in the whereas clauses, and that is whereas clause number 4.
Which page?
It's on page 1 of the document. And it's also up on the screen, but it's hard to read up there. But basically, the whereas clause currently reads, there are several sections of the rules that should be updated to reflect current operations and processes of the city council meetings. And I would just suggest insertion of clarified and before updated, because one of the themes of the Thursday's discussion was some of these processes are already implied in the rules, and many of them are in the way of clarification. So that's number 1. Number 2, if you were to turn to page 12 of the document, and it's new rule number 25. So this is it's regarding resolutions. This is really housekeeping. It states that resolutions, printed copies of the proposed resolution will be made available upon request to any person attending a city council meeting. Given that everything is electronic at this point, that's not a practice that's being done. And in fact, the provision on ordinances was deleted in the current one that you have in the packet. So with those two suggestions, that's what I would recommend.
In order to include those suggestions, would the positive motion to approve this need to mention including those suggestions you just made?
I would recommend that, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody have any comments they'd like to make?
I had a question for council. I'm going to repeat the question I said on Thursday. These have been vetted to the best of your ability to be constitutional and within a federal and state law?
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I just read the very last one real quickly?
Yep. Right, would someone like to make a motion?
Make a motion to pass.
I'll second.
So the proposed changes have been reviewed by the city attorney's and office and are included in the attachment resolution 1941-24, amending the city council rules of procedure. So the recommendation is we've had now the first and the second reading, and therefore the resolution to pass 1941-24, amending the city council rules of procedure. Could I have a motion for that, please? Is there a seconder?
I second.
A friendly amendment asking the person making the motion to include the recommendations made by our council just now.
Yep. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Motion is passed 6-0. Okay, moving on then to number 3, council action items. David Evans and Associates contract for on-call planning services. Mr. Wenger, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a request to authorize the city manager to enter into a contract for professional planning services with David Evans and Associates, not to exceed $40,000. This is a rollover contract that we had a similar contract in 2023. This contract provides professional planning services to assist CDS in development review on complex reviews, and it's been rather handy while we go through the hiring process for senior planners. So with that, CDS is recommending approval of this contract.
Any questions or comments to Mr. Wenger, please?
I was just hoping to get a little clarification on some of the specifics for the reviews. Like, what would some of the tasks be?
In 2023, we had them look at several different projects, doing different reviews related to bigger subdivisions and things like that. We had a variety of tasks in 2023, including working on some potential code amendments and drafting up some a policy kind of to help staff with review, like an internal framework policy, I'm going to say.
Thank you.
Any further comments, questions? Could I have a motion for David Evans and Associates contract for on-call planning services?
I motion.
Seconder? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion is passed 6-0. Moving on to number 4, Pertit contract for on-call planning services. Again, Mr. Wenger.
Similar to the last proposal, this is a request to have the city manager enter into a contract for on-call planning services with a different professional planning service company, Pertit. We use them as well in 2023, primarily for environmental review purposes. We do not use their services as much. This contract is not to exceed $20,000 in 2024.
In the entire year?
In the entire year. So this is a smaller contract. Yes, thank you. And I could answer any questions if you wish.
Yeah, sorry. Quick question with this. The scope of the work that they perform, is this outside of what David Evans and Associates do?
Madam Mayor?
Go ahead, please.
But both companies actually have a wide range of professional consultants on call, and so To answer your question, yes, we were using Pertit mostly for environmental services and DEA for like technical project review, I'm going to say mostly.
Okay. And is this the company that's going to be reviewing wetlands and maintenance reports submitted to the city?
Potentially, yes.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Any other further comments, discussion? Could I have a motion, please, to approve the contract for on-call planning services?
I so move.
Second. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the contract for Pertit is passed 6-0. Again, going on. Number five, Moll Foster and Algonyi General Services Agreement. Again, Mr. Wenger, please.
Yes, thank you. This is yet another contract. So this contract, though, is to help us gear up to do the comprehensive plan. We would like to use Moll Foster Algonyi, or MFA, to help us with our housing element of our comprehensive plan, and also to help us finalize our housing action plan. So this particular contract has no initial cost to the city. It's a general services agreement that allows us to develop a future cost, which we'll bring back as a task one and potentially task two to implement those projects. So this initial general services agreement, there is no initial cost, but we'll be back. So I'd be happy to answer questions on this one as well.
Any questions?
Yes. Does this company have any special qualifications for working on housing? What's their background?
Go ahead, Mr. Wenger.
Again, they have a wide range of professional consultants on staff. They were selected to help us with our housing action plan, and so they've drafted the initial housing action plan. So they're well qualified. They've already done public outreach in Blaine, and they're, I think, the best option to move us forward to help us with our housing.
Do we have a timeline on deliverables?
Yes. Deliverables for the housing action plan, I'm hoping to bring forward at approximately summer. And then the housing element would be a fall/winter item. And I actually touch on that a little bit with the next proposal.
Any further questions for Mr. Wenger? Would someone like to make a motion that we approve the professional services? Seconder?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 6-0 to have Moll, Foster, and Algonyi as general services agreement. Okay, Mr. Wenger, while you're on a roll, number six, resolution 1940-24, 2024 comp plan and text amendment docket.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is our annual comprehensive plan docket where we basically line out the work for CDS to do for the rest of the year. Every February, our code says our council has to approve the docket, and then you get another shot at it about the first meeting in June. So there's a mid-year docket and then this initial beginning docketed item. So just real quick, I found this slide kind of talking about a comprehensive plan. Sums up quite a bit here, but you know, we're looking at approximately 20 years of growth. This slide is actually from Ferndale, so it was talking about planning up to 2036. Well, we'll be implementing a 2045 planning document. So long-range planning reduces costs, it sets clear expectations moving forward, and then we also incorporate a number of utility plans. There's six required elements, and we have an additional number of elements on top of that. And then this requires a coordinated effort through Whatcom County. So Whatcom County kind of leads that effort, and we will be doing significant public outreach. I will bring back a public outreach plan in the future, potentially for each of these items that we're going to talk about in a moment. But that's just a quick overview. Comprehensive plan really sets goals and policies, which brings us to kind of the next level of regulation, which is our land use map. kind of breaking up into different zones, which even a bit further when we start talking about text amendments, that's the implementing regulations. So goals and policies up in the comp plan, and we have the supporting land use, and the next level down is the implementing regulations, our code. So when that applies, these next slides here. So there's seven of these on the screen. I'll just go through them each real quickly. The first one is downtown zoning text amendments. This is based off the downtown ad hoc advisory committee's recommendation. This is a carryover item. The Planning Commission has had a couple meetings on this. I'm actually happy to report that they've scheduled a work session, so an extra meeting later this month, that they're going to continue to work on these items. So that one's already underway. And we're hoping to deliver that potentially in the first half of this year to council. The second item there, permit process text amendments. The idea here is that we want to help streamline review times and reduce delays. We feel this is necessary to help encourage housing. One of the things when the city changed our review process from the Planning Commission looking at development permits to using the hearing examiner system, we never updated the review process. So I hope will help do that. That's number two. And so number three here is the housing action plan I mentioned earlier. We hope to adopt this as an appendix to the comprehensive plan. And this housing action plan will provide us, I think, really, really useful information on the city of Blaine's housing stock and some of our needs, and hopefully help guide us when we develop these comprehensive plan elements in the next chapter. So number four is basically the comprehensive plan update. I've outlined five items there: population, housing, transportation, land use, and climate resiliency. So all of those are separate chapters or elements in the comprehensive plan, and we're hoping to get started on that later this year, bringing those forward in about the third quarter. A couple more items here. Number five, zoning text and map amendments. Those are basically changing that, remember that middle column where we have the zoning map. We want to make a couple changes on there. These relate mostly to the RO district and the planned commercial district. These are potentially third quarter items. Number six, these are our utility plans, so storm, water, power, and sewer plans. We're working with our Public Works Department to get these updated. We're hoping to bring these forward at the end of the year. And then last but not least, we would like to update our sign code to comply with case law update, Reed versus the Town of Gilbert. That is overdue, and so we're hoping to get that crossed off the list this year, another carryover item. I will say that this is a somewhat ambitious plan to get all of these things done this year. I think if we can fill our senior planner position, that will help move this forward, and I just wanted to mention that. So for next year, things that did not make the list that we're going to continue to work on, just more elements of our comprehensive plan there. We also have a transportation plan that we're hoping to update, critical areas regulations, wireless communication update regulations, or an update to the regulations. And then a couple of just changes to some of our definitions that are required by the state. So those things will keep us busy all the way into 2025. So with that, CDS is recommending council approve resolution 1940-24. And there are several options for council. So you can approve as recommended, or you can approve with modifications. You can take items off the list, or you can add an item on if you wished. And then you can also not approve this, but do not recommend that. That would put us probably much behind the schedule to update our state-mandated comprehensive plan, which is due June 2025.
Are there any questions for Mr. Wenger?
Yeah, do I understand that we'd be voting on this is a docket of things to later address? We're not voting today on any specific outcomes of any of the items on the docket. Is that
correct? Yes, thank you for...
Is that right, Mr. Harmon?
Yes, Madam Mayor, that is correct. Exactly right.
Mr. Winker, how many employees do you envision having in the Community Development Department when you're fully staffed?
Let's see, we would have four, four employees, sorry. I'm just counting them up there.
Four?
Yes, that's correct.
Including yourself?
Well, I'd be the fifth.
So you'd be the fifth one. And then are there other employees that do the day-to-day building permits and code enforcement and all that? You have to cover all that too?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead, please.
That is correct.
Do you really think that you have enough staff to do all that?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons we are asking for those professional planning contracts to help us get that done.
Okay.
But yes, to answer your question, I think we can do it.
I have been, well, I have started in interviewing, I guess you would call them developers. Some of them are so tiny, I have trouble calling them developers. But they're creating very small projects. And the concern that was voiced was that there was a time when they really admired the Blaine Planning and Development Department, and they felt that they really got help and things got done in a reasonable fashion. And then a period came where they were told, you have to go figure that out yourself. And they got a big shock when they came back and discovered the projects were a lot more expensive than they thought. And I'm hoping that we're going to get back to that where they can come in and get the help they need to ensure that their project goes on in a timely fashion. So I just want to make sure we're headed in that direction.
Ahead, Mr. Wenger.
Madam Mayor, yes, if I could just, yes, absolutely. We are hoping to do that. We've since hired, or recently hired, well, when I took this position November 1st, we were quite significantly understaffed, and we've recently hired a new planner, one, Jeremy Van Buskirk, who has been a great addition to the team, and we focused on the primary core functions of the department, getting our single-family permit review times out there, getting questions answered to the from the public, and very, you know, various things like that. So our bigger, more complex projects are still taking some significant time. I'm hoping once we hire a building official and a senior planner, that's going to help alleviate some of those more complicated projects. I do have a staffing update later, which I'm happy to share with you, but I think we're making progress on that mission.
Any other?
That's one of the important things in attracting businesses to Blaine, is when they talk to their fellow builders and developers, they say, oh yeah, Blaine's really a great place to work with, and that's what I want to make sure that we're aiming for.
Alex, I believe we're the part of the problem here. Not this, but we have been part of the problem not allowing these people to do their own work. We give them a task, they do it, then we don't listen to them. So if we start really listening to our people, go sit with them, go talk to these guys if we got questions, you know, and get closer. So I just think a lot of times we give them info, they do it, and then it's forgot about. Right, which is, that's nothing to do with them, that's us. And I believe this council is strong now. Hope we can get things done. That's all I got.
Any other further comments to Mr. Wenger? Could I have a motion? We have, the department recommends that City Council consider approving resolution number 1940-24, initiating the 2024 docket of amendments to the City of Blaine Comprehensive Plan and text amendments. And the three options have been taken down, but they are, if the City Council concurs that all items should be docketed, no amendments to the resolution are needed, and the Council should adopt Resolution 1940-24 in its current form. The second option, if the City Council wants to remove or add amendments, Exhibit A to the resolution should be revised. 3, if the City Council does not want to initiate any amendments, then Resolution 1940-24 should not be passed. However, this would likely lead to the City being out of compliance with State and the Growth Management Act. So having heard that, would someone like to make a motion, please?
Yes, I would like to make a motion that we adopt Resolution 1940-24 in its current form.
Is there a seconder? Okay. Motion by Mr. Lopez, seconded by Mr. Hill, that we adopt option one, and that is no amendments to the resolution, and the council should adopt the resolution in its current form. Are there any further discussions before we vote on this? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? So this resolution is passed 6-0. Okay. The last council action item is consideration of access closure on Martin Street Parklet, and that's Mr. Gandy.
Madam Mayor. In 2020, the Parks and Cemetery Board recommended closing of the vehicular access for the Martin Street Parklet and reclaim it as a park again. So if you look on the screen up on the left-hand side, the vehicular access towards the Chatter High would be closed, and the other one towards at the back of the Railway Cafe, that will be closed, and that section would be created as a park. So we recommend council recommending closing of that vehicular access. And this is a part of the downtown revitalization project. We will be actually putting parking, angle parking on the main street.
I'm sure there's lots of questions for Mr. Gandy on this.
Mr. Gandy, would the Railway Cafe still have parking behind their building?
So they won't have it, actually. They have to work with DJ and DJ to get an access towards at the back of the, getting access to the back of the.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. They have to do what?
They have to work with the neighboring property that's owned by DJ and DJ, so to get an access. But they will have an access from the front, from the sidewalk, and they will have parking in the front.
Oh, so were they getting parking that was just kind of an unofficial easement? Okay.
Madam,
go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
As a matter of fact, it's not even an easement. It's just public.
I said unofficial, as a de facto easement.
Yeah, public property has been used for that private access. And so we're at the point where we have a concept drawing, and we're asking the council, do you want to put a parklet there and limit access to those two businesses? Based on the records we can find, there is no private access to the Railroad Cafe. They've just benefited from that adjacent property. We do believe that we can work with DOT to move the bike trail over to the east side of the road and put angled reverse-in parking along Peace Portal Drive, but that will take the consent of the DOT. We can pick up a number of parking spaces along Peace Portal if we abandon that bike trail on the west side of Peace Portal Drive. And I wish we had Google Earth that we could pull it up and show you. We did visit with the property owner of the Chatter High. It is possible for them to change their striping in the parking lot and continue to park their current facility at about 10 spaces and maintain a 24-foot drive lane. So we think it is doable with the project, and staff does support the recommendation of the park board. We just wanted to come back and show you the reality of closing off that public space to those two private businesses.
And for the parklet itself, do we have a rough estimate on time and cost?
Madam
Mayor. Go ahead, Mr. Herman.
We don't have estimate on cost. We do have approximately $170,000 set aside for that project, I believe, in the CIP. But we haven't gone out to bid for the project yet. Our goal is to be out for bid in the next 2 months, with construction ending in the spring of 25 on that project. It's possible you could see it late this year, depending on the speed of the contractor.
I had more questions.
Excuse me, there's no public comment. Excuse me, you can write an email. Excuse me, there is no public comment. Excuse me.
Mr. Gandy, I was reviewing this at length the other day, and knowing how parents like to observe their children playing. You've got this rope and timber, like jungle gym in the center there. And I'm leaping to the conclusion that you probably have those benches facing the water,
yes,
towards the water. Mm-hmm. I would recommend that some of those actually face the jungle gym, because they're going to want to watch their kids as well as the water.
So you mean facing the other way?
Yeah, so that we, you know, obviously we want some facing the water for somebody who just wants to sit and relax. But if we've got people there with younger children, they need a place to sit where they can observe them.
Yeah. I had some more questions.
Yes, please.
So I want to try and understand some of what you've just described here. Currently, there's a bike trail that passes by this. Is that correct?
That's not.
Yes. Now, is that a bike trail where someone could, in theory, be? Yeah, that's the thing. So someone could be continuously going from Marine Park and continuing all the way along Peace Portal. Is that the?
Right now, yes.
Okay. So, and you were saying in this, you're proposing a change here, where people who are biking would not be able to go continuously. They'd have to cross the street for a block and then cross back or something. I didn't understand what you were suggesting.
No, basically it will be moved on to the east side than on west side.
Okay, but...
Would that be for the entire length of Peace Portal?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are they... Oh, so the bike trail, the entirety of the bike trail would be on the east side?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because so, that's what my understanding of what a lot of cyclists would want is to not have to change which side they're on. So,
right.
So the entire bike trail would have a new alignment. Is that what's
yes.
proposed? Okay, all right, thank you.
Any further comments, questions?
Madam Mayor, I would just add one more comment.
Please.
The reason back-end parking, which, by the way, works in downtown D.C., it certainly can work in Blaine, Washington, DOT wants the first movement from a vehicle to be forward. And so imagine heading south on Peace Portal Drive. You would drive past the space, back into it, do your shopping or your eating, and then your first movement is forward out into the traffic lane. That's what makes it safe.
So we have to train everybody to back into these parking places, basically, yeah. That I'll have to work on that.
All right. Would someone like to make a motion that we consider access closure on Martin Street Parklet?
Make a motion.
Mr. Hill, second?
I second.
Ms. Hurst. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Pass 6-0.
I would also like to commend you for putting all those trees in there. I hope they actually get there.
Moving on to commission, committee, and board reports, first is Public Works and Park Advisory Board update. And who's going to do that?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
So we did have our first Parks and PVAC and Parks Committee joint meeting on February 8th. So we did have our agenda, and no major decision was made. It was just an introduction meeting and to select a date that works for everyone. So the next meeting is every second Thursday at 9:30. That all was decided up there.
Okay, any further comments on that? Okay, next up is Civil Service Commission update. Chief.
Hi, so wow, we did have a meeting for Civil Service Commission just, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. We're just in background process for new hires that our list was approved. So we're basically just looking at background process for new officers. We also had our promotional list approved, and we're working on an MOU now. So we'll be promoting one interim sergeant to take over while Lieutenant Green is filling the lieutenant spot.
Okay, any questions on that? Comments? A Planning Commission update. Mr. Wenger.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Our Planning Commission had a good meeting on the zoning text amendment last Thursday evening, went a little past 8 o'clock. Good discussion there. We had a number of local builders and architects come speak to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission is really in a learning and collecting information stage right now with our zoning text amendments. And then they did schedule a work session coming up here next week. And so a 2-hour work session right here, open to the public, but no action will be taken at that meeting. So we're just gonna continue to talk about parking, height limits downtown. And once the Planning Commission has a better understanding of that, we're gonna start the public process or public engagement process and open that up, try to collect more information from the public. So that will be starting probably in March.
Any comments, questions for Mr. Wenger on that? Okay. Moving on to department reports. City Manager, Mr. Harmon, please.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple items. I think Sam's going to bring up a spreadsheet. So Mayor and I were speaking at Semiahmoo Men's Club Association, where a member of the Save Blaine group got up and made a radical statement that the mayor and I were planning to double the population of Blaine in the next 2 years. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to show the actual growth rates that have been released by the State Office of Financial Management. As you can see, growth rates in Whatcom County range between 1.4 and 2.8%. Blaine's at realized 2.6% over the last 10 years. And if you look at the data from OFM, they're projecting Blaine to be around 9,600 people by the end of 2036. So certainly not the 12,000 that some would have you believe, but that was good data for the council to see.
Thank you for promptly providing accurate information that can be heard publicly and prevent inaccurate information from growing.
Yeah, it's really a shame the disinformation that's being spread. The second item is the hiring process for the chief of police. Friday, we had initial screenings, approximately 10 applicants. We have very good interest in our chief process. We have five candidates that the mayor and I, along with Deputy Mayor Lopez, have decided to move on to the next stage in the process, where we'll have a citizens panel, a law enforcement panel, and then a leadership panel to conduct in-person interviews. We're anticipating late February, early March for those interviews with a candidate for council's recommendation, perhaps as early as the first meeting in March, perhaps the second meeting in March. So we're making progress there. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Herman. Community Development Services, Mr. Wenger, please.
Yes, well, we're excited to kick off the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee retreat tomorrow morning. I did want to thank Councilmember Davidson for serving on the committee for at least about the last 4 or 5 years, quite some time, and then welcome Councilmember Hurt to the chair of BTAC. So we'll be meeting tomorrow talking about some long-range ideas and planning goals for our Tourism Advisory Committee. There'll be a number of just short presentations from some of our tourism partners, and we're excited to see where that goes. Up next, I am excited to let you know that we have three candidates for the building official position. We've interviewed one, and we have two additional interviews lined up. All three of the candidates are qualified, so we're optimistic we'll be able to award that position soon. And on top of that, the senior planning position closed on Friday, and we are moving forward with initial interviews for four applicants. So we have four qualified candidates, so we're excited about that as well. And last but not least, we had an elected officials meeting this last Wednesday. The mayor was there and myself, and we got to hear from the county. One of the focuses of this particular meeting with elected officials across all the small cities, Whatcom County, Bellingham, was FEMA maps. So we're looking at frequently flooded areas. Blaine is in a really good place compared to some of our other cities, neighboring cities, Everson, Nooksack, Sumas. So new flood maps don't necessarily impact Blaine very much. So we're in a good place there. and there'll be another one of those coming up in a couple months. I think that's it. So if there's any questions about any of that, I'd be happy to answer those. Otherwise, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wenger. Okay, Public Works Department, Mr. Gandhi, please.
Madam Mayor, so we did apply for the EDI grant with the county. On January 30th, they had that EDI board meeting where we were awarded $660,000 in a EDI grant for our well-filled water reservoir. We actually applied for $2 million, out of which $1.33 is a loan. And we do have $500,000 as an engineering and design cost that's been estimated for our CIP for 2024. And the rest, $2.5 million, we will be looking for state funds or additional bonding and loan to get the project completed. We are doing an open house on the concept design for the downtown revitalization project on February 26th from 4 o'clock to 5:45 p.m. in the evening before the council meeting. So it's an open house and people can come, give their comments or, you know, make suggestions, and we'll work with that.
Would you repeat the time, please, and the place?
Yeah, it will be at the council chamber, February 26th, before the council meeting, from 4 p.m. to 5:45 p.m. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you.
Okay, there are calendars, and you can have a look at them. Okay. Council, unfinished business, any unfinished business? Okay, to Mr. May's earlier request, council new business and dialogue versus audience participation. As a note went out saying that audience participation portion of the February 12, 2024 council meeting may be limited to written communication only. If you intend to speak during the audience participation portion of this meeting, please understand the oral comment agenda item may not occur pending direction from the mayor. Providing written communication prior to the meeting may be the best option to convey comment to City Council. And then the email address is given. If oral public comment does not occur and only written comment is accepted at tonight's meeting, paper and pens will be provided. There will be no oral comment. We have passed action item resolution 1941-24 saying that under the advice or consideration from the mayor, oral comment may not be held and it will not be held this evening. We will be going, and I will allow then Mr. May on council new business and dialogue to address that. But before we do, I'm just going to remind people that under written communications, we always just mention that it's included on the city's website. We have an executive session following this council new business and dialogue. And so if anybody would like to do a written comment that they wish the council to see this evening, pens and paper will be provided. You'll be allowed to write those and leave those with us while we do our executive session. And that will allow people to have their written input. And with that, Mr. May.
I didn't have anything. I just wanted the opportunity.
Yep.
If there had been a verbal public comment, I would have wanted an opportunity to perhaps ask staff a question in the public record that could have corrected or informed such a comment.
Okay, thank you. All right, so under council new business and dialogue, is anyone else would like to make a statement? Okay. We will then go into executive session. And Mr. Harmon, would you, it's Mr. Rufato, I think, is going to be in charge of the executive session. So Mr. Rufato, would you like to announce how long the litigation pursuant to RCW 42-30-11013 with no action to be taken. And how long?
I would anticipate 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay. So anyone in the audience that wishes to write has 20 minutes to make a written comment. Okay, we're back from executive session and no action has been taken. Therefore, the meeting is adjourned at 7:32.